And we're back live on your number one sports podcast, All Things Sports. I'm your co-host, Small Town EP, joined by your host, Wade Julian. The big dance is here. The MLB opened in Seoul, South Korea. Dak Prescott still does not have a contract extension, and we are back to give you the real in sports. It seems Shohei Ohtani's interpreter has some explaining to do, and this time it's going to be to the United States federal government. I'll kick it over to June for an update on Ohtani being a victim of millions of dollars of theft. June?
Well, it's nice to see you, my boy. This is not, you know how they say, like, bingo card? I didn't have this on my bingo card for 2024. Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter being under fire, more so his interpreter. But like you said, Shohei Ohtani didn't know about this, allegedly. And I'm going to leave it at that. As far as what Shohei knows and what he doesn't know, we don't know. We don't know. But this is a whirlwind of problems that have been circulating in the last 24 hours, not even. Shohei Ohtani has a interpreter. He goes by the name of, Ipe Mizuhara. In big trouble, sir. EP, I think that was hilarious how you pointed out the explaining he has to do is to the federal government now. No longer got to tell us what you know or what you don't. Listen, buddy, none of our business. They'll figure it out. They're going to put the affidavit out. We'll find it, you know. But to simplify everything, apparently Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, who is also a longtime friend of his, he's also obviously a former employee of the Los Angeles Dodgers, former employee of the Los Angeles Angels as well, was fired yesterday from the Dodgers because of this report that came out saying that Shohei Ohtani has been a victim of a massive theft. And we're talking $4.5 million. Like, we're not talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're not talking $1 million. We're talking millions of dollars. This is a guy who just came off signing a $700 million deal and deferred $680 million of that deal to, like, whenever the hell. On surface level, it's like, okay, wow, Shohei Ohtani is a victim. And he might be. But when you start to look at, you know, everything and the details that they keep dropping on this, it just makes you think. I'm no investigator. I'm no, you know, nobody to accuse anybody of anything. However, we all have judgment. We all, you know, read up on stuff and have our own thought processes. And I'll just say this. I don't think Shohei Ohtani, I don't know that Shohei Ohtani is guilty, but I wouldn't be surprised if it came out that he was. Now, when I say surprised, I would, of course, be surprised that he'd involve himself in something like this, right? With all the endorsement money he makes, the $700 million contract he makes, he just signed. However, based on people recanting stories, people being Ipe Mizuhara, recanting his story, changing his words, it smells a little fishy. And it's interesting. I'm gonna read off a little bit here because there's a lot of information in this story, and I want to kind of have a little back and forth with you.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to unpack here. Definitely.
So it came out that there's $4.5 million wire transfer that was sent from Shohei's account to a bookie, right? Sports gambling is legal in 40 states in the United States. It's fucking forced upon us at this point, but it's still illegal in the state of California. It's where Shohei Ohtani resides and makes his money. So on Tuesday evening, ESPN, all right, so I'm gonna read here. I'm gonna quote. They said, and this is, I definitely want to give Tisha Thompson from ESPN credit here. I'm going off of this so that we can have the conversation on it. Says the theft allegation, it came after his spokesman told ESPN initially that Ohtani had transferred the funds to cover his gambling debts, right? Mizuhara on Tuesday evening told ESPN the same and laid out his story in great detail, including saying that Ohtani had sat with him and the two transferred money in $500,000 increments in several different settings. But As ESPN prepared to publish a story on Wednesday, the spokesman then disavowed Mizuhara's account. So now he's like backtracking, right? That we don't want to give credit to any of that. That might not be necessarily true. Okay. And following it says, in a subsequent interview with Mizuhara, he had told ESPN that he had not been truthful, that Ohtani had no knowledge of this gambling activity, debts, or effort to repay him. On Thursday, a source close to Ohtani gave an explanation for changing the storylines. As Ohtani's handlers tried to determine what had happened, they initially relied solely on Mizuhara, who continued to translate for Ohtani. And after Wednesday's season opening game in South Korea, because mind you, while all this is going on, baseball is kicking off on the other side of the world in Korea. We're not even focused on if the Dodgers are 2-0 versus the Padres right now or not. We're looking at baseball's best player and biggest star at the moment facing, I can't say he's facing. His translator is facing some serious charges. So they said after Wednesday's season opening game in South Korea, Dodgers officials, they called a meeting and they were kind of just letting the team know that there's going to be some negative storylines coming out. Mizuhara is going to be fired. And Mizuhara addressed the team, apologized, said that he had a gambling addiction. And it was then, so allegedly, when Ohtani finally understood what was happening for the first time. And that's when he started to ask questions. They also asked Mizuhara, have you ever interpreted anything incorrectly on purpose? He said, no, he hasn't. It's hard to believe a liar once they lie, right? Like, everybody facts. Knows this, whether facts. It's your friend, whether it's somebody close to you, your girl. Once somebody lie to you and break that seal of trust, not saying trust can never be gained back, but it's a long...
Everything's in question now.
It's a long road. And so it's like, okay, what's the truth now, right? And that's why we're going to defer to investigations, right? That's why we don't do this job. We get to just wait and see, buddy. Like, however, it's just very interesting because it went from Mizuhara saying, Shohei Ohtani had no knowledge of this. Sorry. It first went from him saying, well, Shohei found out about all this and then did the transfers because he said he wanted to cover my debt. And I said, I'll never gamble again, which is also a lie. Because once a gambler, degenerate, 4.5 million. Listen, bro, you're not, I don't know that you can escape the shackles of gambling at this point, unless you're in federal prison. But then he changed the story and says, well, no, Shohei never knew about any of this. So whether he's trying to make things look better for Shohei, you know, in the sense of just him being a big victim to this and him not wanting him to have any negative light on his name, it could be true. However, recanting statements after getting caught, knowing you're wrong, they know you're wrong, we all know you're wrong, and now you're just lying about it, now it's starting to get a little fishy here. So the MLB is definitely going to do an investigation on both Mizuhara and Shohei Ohtani. And, you know, it's like Shohei, I guess, innocent until proven guilty right now. And it's not like we're looking at him like, you know, he's going to be suspended until this whole thing blows over. No, like Shohei is good. He's not going to talk to media for now. I will say the Dodgers did already hire a new interpreter. He was the interpreter for Maeda a couple years back. So another key thing is that Mizuhara said he never bet on baseball. That's 100%. I knew that rule. We have a meeting about that in spring training, which, okay, you never bet on baseball because you know the rules. You had a meeting about it. But what about the rules to not spending $4.5 million that's not yours and the code, you know? So, like, that's why everything he says right now, I could just kind of – I want to just see through it. So, apparently, he's betting on the NBA, college football, NFL, and international soccer. Listen, man, he's confirmed to be getting paid $300,000 to $500,000 a year from the Dodgers. And here he has himself in baseball's, I guess, biggest scandal, maybe since the Pete Rose, right? Or the Barry Bonds. I think this is bigger than the Barry Bonds steroids. I mean, I don't know that this is bigger than the Barry Bonds steroids because, like, the steroid thing, because, you know, that was the player affecting their game. And Shohei's not the one doing the betting here. Pete Rose was the one doing the betting. So it's like, until we can prove that one, Shohei is, in fact, a part of this, which I'm not going to put that on him. But to think that, to have no thought in my mind that Shohei could be a part of this, I think would be pretty ignorant, because you can't put things past people, one. Two, you know, the liar is changing his statements here and there. And three, I mean, $4.5 million just kind of slipping away. Obviously, it's not like you're checking your bank accounts and stuff like that. You have people that you pay for all this, but we're not talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, we are talking about almost $5 million that just went to sports gambling. So I just want to ask you your thoughts on this whole thing. When you saw the report, what came to mind? And it's not necessarily like, we're not here to accuse anybody. We understand that the interpreter, Mizuhara, is the one that is in trouble right now. He is the one that deserves a lot of the blame, or if not all of it. But what do you make of this situation? This is baseball's biggest player, and he's now on a new team in the first year of his contract for $700 million, in the biggest deal that we've ever seen in the league. So what's going through your mind?
Yeah, this seems like one of those, when you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes type of situation. Like a prime example of playing stupid games and winning stupid prizes. I mean, you're getting paid, like you just said, $300,000 to $500,000 a year to interpret, bro, to speak. You know, you're getting paid rapper money to speak, bro. And from what it seems like when Shohei is saying, yo, you know, allegedly, I will cover your debt. Like, now I got to think about it on the back end. Like, now you're fired. You were his, you know, homeboy, like his friend, you know. And now he has to get used to a brand new interpreter in a brand new city. Granted, it's not too far from Anaheim, but in a brand new city, on a brand new team, in a brand new ball club. You know what I mean? And then for this to happen around, you know, their opening day, because whatever the MLB did with the scheduling and the World Tour, but still playing spring training and having to come back and play more spring training, whatever. We don't even have to get into all that. But it's just a very sticky and nasty situation. I mean, again, recanting statements is crazy. Trying to, you know, it's just very, I don't know, man. It's weird.
Nasty work.
Yeah, it's nasty work, bro. And now, on top of that, you know, I got to be funny now. Now you're making the block hot for what's this book guy? This bookie's name? I saw it in the report. I'm not gonna look too hard for it if I can't find it.
I forgot it.
Yeah, last name Boyer though. Yeah, now you're making it hot for my man's in SoCal. Like, bro, what's up with you, dog? now his book is under federal investigation because obviously, like you mentioned, sports gambling is illegal in 10 states. One of those being California, where Ohtani resides at this point. And then
he's got to know that's high risk, high reward too, though. I mean, like, he knows who Shohei Ohtani's interpreter is, I imagine. And so, you know, it's like serving the principal at the school, right? It's like, hey, man, it's only going to go like certain plays, certain moves, certain finesses can only go so far. Right. And with gambling and with risk taking and with finessing and with dirty money and fast money, we all know it's not going to be forever. It's not a forever thing. And you got to know when to get out. And that's the trick to all of it. Right. Like, when do you get out? When do you feel like you can just one more. You said it. You win. You play stupid games. You win super prizes. That's going to be the title of the episode, because it's just like, man, if you're Shohei's best friend, also his interpreter, also making up to $500,000 a year, also living in the city of LA, coming off of a winter that Shohei signed a $700 million contract. Shohei has the most endorsement money of all baseball players by 50 certain million dollars. What the fuck are we doing gambling on international soccer and illegally at that.
Like, you should have watched ATS. He might have had some locks. He might not be $4.5 million in debt, but
I just, you can't excuse certain shit, bro. And to me, it's just like, this is one of those things where, I mean, hey, do I feel bad? Absolutely not. And if Shohei is in fact a part of this and they do find him to be guilty, I'm not painting him like that. Like I said, Shohei is innocent right now. We don't know. All we know right now is that he had no clue about this. But if he was a part of this, like, no, dude, I don't feel bad. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
So my man deferred all that money just to give it to a book is crazy, bro.
That is crazy.
It's crazy, man. It's and you know what? I hope if he's not involved, I hope he was very cold-hearted to his friend slash interpreter and was like, bro, you know the rules. You know the rules.
And that's the thing about, like, that's the thing about the story changing. At first, it was like the friend's like, well, you know, when I told Shohei, he understood my addiction and sat down and transferred the money to me so that he can pay for my gambling debt. Who in their right motherfucking mind will get robbed for $4.5 million, excuse my French, and be like, yeah, I'm going to cover your ass. Bro, sink on that ship and stay over there. For those watching, you know what? It just, some things don't add up. So I would like to know, whenever all this boils over, what the end result is. And is baseball's most prized possession right now going to remain innocent? And can he continue an illustrious career for, you know, years on years on years? Because the Dodgers, obviously, they wouldn't have the world's biggest problem. They still got a bunch of superstars on their roster, but they would be in some shit if Shohei Ohtani is in fact, mm-hmm. you know, guilty mm-hmm. here, and then this becomes a whole thing of, like, he has to do some splaining to the federal courts, you know, and
you might just need a new interpreter for that too.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm on the train that says it's World Series or bust this year for the Dodgers, but that's a different conversation for a different podcast. We will keep it in the MLB. Like I mentioned, the World Tour Series that did open in Seoul, South Korea, did kick off between the Dodgers and the Padres. They did split the series 1-1.
Speaking of split, did you see how they won game one with the ball going between the glove or splitting through the web?
March Madness is infecting every sport, apparently, because what the hell? But Ohtani does get his first RBI as a Dodger in game one. And then game two, man, that boy Manny Machado, who we have some criticism for him a lot, especially in the last couple of years as far as his production. He does hit a 3-1 home run in the top of the ninth in the second game to seal it. Baseball is here. We're going to let all that finish. But March Madness is also here. And there's teams right now whose feet already hurt at this dance. It's a very interesting series. You said off air, I'm going to bring it up. Yeah, a little disappointment in the Oregon South Carolina game. Ugh, those.
Yeah,
ducks,
you
man.
Know, shout out to the chat, man. You know, I 909 we trust. I'm sticking with him. That's my guy. Shout out to him. Today wasn't the day. You know, put some. I don't know what my official unit is. I'm bullshitting here, but I put some units. All right, put some units. I don't know what Julian's one unit is, but I know it ain't what I put. That'd be a little much. So I put a cup. Maybe I put a couple units on South Carolina today, and you know, lo and behold, we got Mr. Hero for Oregon, and I don't want to get this wrong, but his name is Jermaine Cousinard, and he torched his former school. This is a former South Carolina player. So had I maybe had some backstory history on that, maybe I don't place that bet. But number 11, you know, Oregon defeats number 6, South Carolina. He goes for 40, 14 to 22, 5-9 from 3, along with 6 assists and 4 rebounds. I mean, that's just disgusting. When you got money on a team and somebody goes for 40 against you, what do? You know, can't be too mad because it wasn't bad team effort. I mean, this is a guy who had a day, so you got to respect it.
1,000%. Well, I'll kick it over to the chat really quick before we kick it over to the early game. Ray Cam in the chat. Padres today was nuts. Says Mookie to 1, Cardi in the chat. ATS, we the best nine left. It's game time. Who hit the lick in baseball? Cardi, you're going to have to go back and watch the episode. Rewatch it. Stream it. We love you. But we got to keep going. Dub to the Izzo, man. The early game today. Whew. Tom Izzo, number 9 Michigan State, playing number 8 Mississippi State. The line was minus 1 for Michigan State. And there were a lot of people that were, on the Bulldogs, who haven't had a tournament win since 2008, mind you. And this game was over early, up 7 at the half, and MSU outscores Mississippi State by 11 in the second half. I mean, led by Tyson Walker, 19 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals. Tom Izzo, I mean, March is Tom Izzo's time. No matter how far he gets, we know Tom Izzo for spectacular and genius coaching, especially in the month of March. He does an amazing job in the round of 64, especially making his team believe. June, you got any takeaways from Tom Izzo once again advancing to the round of 32?
I mean, it's just a credit to him and him having his guys year in, year out, no matter who's on the roster, you know, prepared for the round of 64. At the end of the day, whether you're a 1 seed, whether you're a 16 seed, the game is a winnable game, right? It's also a losable game, if that's even a word. Being as though they were the 9 seed, you know, underdog in this matchup versus Mississippi State here, it just goes to show, you know, well-prepared, well-coached team basketball. Michigan State has always been a team-oriented basketball program. They survived with one of their starters not even shooting a bucket in 16 minutes. You know, their starting center, Carson Cooper, goes 0-for-0 from the field. 2 rebounds. I mean, I don't know what's going on here. 2 rebounds, 2 fouls, 1 assist, no points, no shot attempts in only 16 minutes. That's pretty scary. But like you mentioned, Walker had a good game. Akins had a good game. And so, you know, it was enough. Mississippi State, they didn't come to play today. They had 1 starter in double figures. And their bench, man, you look at that bench production. You got 7 points, right? And we're talking 26, 30, over 40 or over 50 minutes of playing time to get you 7 points. You know, like, what's going on? 4 rebounds off the bench. 5 rebounds off the bench. Sorry. 8 rebounds off the bench, 4 assists off the bench. Yeah. I mean, you know, you got guys shooting 0-for-5 off the bench. I don't expect you guys
to win. That's what we call unserious effort right there. Unserious effort. I will
shout out to him.
Yeah, I will kick it to a game that just finished. Number 10 Nevada Wolfpack versus number 7 Dayton Flyers. This is the Western region. This took place in Salt Lake City, Utah. Nevada pulling away early. They were up 34-25 in the first half, and then they outscored by 12 in the second half. Dayton not only wins by 3, we talk about units, but loses me half a unit on that Nevada money line. March is here. March is absolutely
here. Shout out to my boy AJ. He said it's like the Vegas knows when you're happy and they just hit that switch on your ass. Like, what you laughing at? You got bread?
Oh, you
got bread on this? All right, homie.
Oh, you were just talking your shit in the group chat. Hey, he was just hit the button. He got happy. Hit the button on him. You heard? And that's what it seems like is happening. Number 11s are not looking too shabby today. Number 6 BYU, their feet were hurting early, and even though they picked it up in the second half, outscoring number 11 Duquesne. I'm sorry. You know what? Call me a winner. Is what Duquesne said. They don't even care what you call them as long as it's a winner. All right. The damage had already been done, and BYU suffers an exit in the round of 64. I mean, there were a good amount of people on the Dukes. People like BYU because, of course, they can shoot you out the gym. But when you live by their 3, there's a big possibility that you're going to die by it too. And BYU just couldn't keep up. Birmingham Young just couldn't keep up. This isn't the Jimmer Fredette days anymore. Shout out to Jimmy. A couple days ago was the anniversary of him dropping 40 on the Zags. One of those games that you can never forget, because Jimmer Mania was a moment as a young teenage kid that you just can't forget. But the Dukes pull it off to the tune of 71-67, led by D. Grant with 19 points. He averages 16 on the season. He had 19 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, played 36 minutes. Since we're talking about units, and there's a game about to start that I got some units on as well, I'm going to give y'all the pick of the pod of the pick, however you want to say it. It's going to be a two-leg parlay. Kentucky is about to start. Number 14, Oakland, versus number 3, Kentucky, in the South region. Kentucky's minus 13.5. What we're going to do is we're going to buy them down 6 points, take them at minus 7, pair that with Gonzaga on the money line. It'll give you a two-leg at minus 140. Do I have 1.86 units on it? Maybe. Maybe not. Less cash, though, because I need my money back from Nevada. For real, bro. For real.
I might tell you on that, man, because one, the All Things Sports Lock ain't let me down last time. It was Capitals money line. I can't forget. Put some money in my pockets, and I lost some money today. So I will say, no shade, but the lock I went with today was not an All Things Sports lock. This All Things Sports lock, I feel good about it. I mean, Kentucky, you know what I mean? Rob Dillingham and those boys should definitely put on a show tonight. I think they can cover that 13. What is it? 13.5, you said? I think they can cover 13.5. We're going to play it smart. We're going to play it smart by those points. And then Gonzaga, which is a bit risky because Gonzaga is known to maybe fold in the first two rounds or so in the tournament. However, McNeese, no disrespect to you guys, but don't think you guys are ready for Gonzaga right now. So I do like that parlay. Minus 140. Hey, put. Maybe I'll put 1.6. Maybe.
You know what I'm saying? I will say, just, you know, for the listeners right now, I am on Texas, who is up 12-8. 10 minutes into the first half. I am on the Texas money line. Hopefully they can come through for me and get me my money back on Nevada. And I can just, you know, the Kentucky and the Gonzaga parlay is all just gravy on top of the meat and the potatoes, as they say. You know what I mean? North Carolina State, man. I mean, they ended Duke's run in the ACC tournament. They went on to win the ACC tournament. Number 11, North Carolina State, does play number 6, Texas Tech, another game in the South region. This game will take place in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And, I mean, Texas Tech obviously known for outstanding defense in the last decade. Like, that's what they do. That's what they are. That's what they thrive on. That's how you identify a Texas Tech defense and a Texas Tech team, is by their defense. And I think North Carolina State's run is going to end today, and that might be a little bit of hate because of what they did to Duke, but there's just only so much you can do. You know, the proverbial, you know, you get excited and you know, your feet get tired, essentially. You got any takes on North Carolina State playing Texas Tech today?
I wouldn't say it's so much hate. You know, ESPN matchup predictor has them at 62.5% odds to win this game, talking about Texas Tech. And, you know, they're going to have to expect a lot out of their guard, DJ Horn, tonight. He's going to have to, you know, hometown kid, get them through a tough matchup. This is going to be I think it'll be a better game than, you know, that 62% chance. It's always going to be tight in a tournament with these 11 seed. You said it. You know what I'm saying? That's how you started off the Dukanesque one. And so I wouldn't put it past North Carolina State to upset Texas Tech University. However, do I think it's going to happen today? I don't. Last 5 games for Texas Tech, they lost their last game versus Houston, number 1 team at the time, but they are winners of 4 out of the last 5. And then you got to give credit to NC State for being able to win the ACC tournament beat North Carolina, beat Virginia, beat Duke. And so, yeah, I think it'll be a good one. But Texas Tech, I think Texas Tech takes this game tonight.
Duke doesn't play till tomorrow. North Carolina did play today against number 16 Wagner. I mean, it was over early. Final score 90-62. You know, I think if Howard would have beat Wagner in that play-in game, I think Howard would have been a little bit better of a matchup for North Carolina. But Wagner just, ooh, those Tar Heels were stepping today is what I'll say. They are scheduled to play on a to-be-decided date and time in the second round versus team we just spoke about who had the early game today, Michigan State. So it'll be number one North Carolina versus number nine Michigan State. Arizona stood on business today too against number 15 Long Beach State. Number two Arizona did win 85-65. They will play number seven Dayton in the second round. This is the west side of the bracket. And yes, number one North Carolina, number two Arizona are on the same side of the bracket in the same region. And it's looking like we are going to get Caleb Love around the Sweet 16 against his old team, the North Carolina Tar Heels. We will talk about that when we get to that. I don't want to jump the gun on that because, you know, slow down. Just attack.
They got to win.
They got to win. You got to win. You got to get there. You got to win again. I know you did it once. What does Elvis Murray say? Do it again. Do it again. And when you get it right, do it again.
Do it again. Right. Shout to him.
Duke does play tomorrow against Vermont. And I want to preview this game. I want to pull it up right now. I think the line is set at, don't kill me.
Line we got set at 12 and a half.
12 and a half. Opened at 11 and a half. It's since moved a point. The over-under is at 132.5. Duke has.
Let's face it. Yeah. Vermont is happy to be here. All right. This game is going to be played in Brooklyn. Duke Blue Devils, as we mentioned last week, were embarrassed last time out on the floor. They cannot afford to lose this game as a program. They are only winners of three out of their last five, losing to NC State and losing to North Carolina, where North Carolina swept them for the season series. So coming off of, you know, ending the regular season at home against North Carolina, unable to beat them this season, and then losing in the quarterfinal to NC State, there just has to be way too much pride tomorrow night. And they can't get in over their heads. I don't think they will. They're a good basketball team. We talked about some of the flaws they have and the fact that they don't have maybe that guy. Shout out to Kyle. But, you know, Duke, we're used to different. We're used to better. We're used to Brandon Ingram. We're used to Paolo Banchero, things like that. So they'll definitely be able to express themselves and show their talent tomorrow and come out, you know, with a healthy win. So if you're going to bet the game, you know, I do think you can – you can take that 12.5 spread. If Duke loses or even wins by less than 12, you should be utterly concerned for their future.
Yeah, and I mean, I will say that I think North Carolina State did have that game circled in the ACC tournament. We did break their hearts on their senior night in the Wolfpack Arena, 79-64 on the 4th of March. So 10 days later when we saw them again in the tournament, they were ready. They had it circled and it showed, you know, it showed. Duke minus 13 or minus 12 and a half at this point. Duke is sort of like Kansas City in the NFL in the first couple of weeks. They don't really cover the spread. They just win. But the plus 12.5 on Vermont is way too public. Like 70% of the bets are on there. So I like to go on the opposite way that the public is going.
Staying away?
I'll stay away. I think I'm going to enjoy this game. Hopefully enjoy the outcome of the game as well. But
We will. Yeah. We will. Have some guts. Where the cap? Shout the cap.
No cap. There's not really too many more games tonight that I'm super excited to watch. I think that South Dakota State Jackrabbits against number two Iowa State should be a good game. I don't know about that 15.5. I would take the under 135.5. And then we do have St. Peter's, number 15 versus number 2, Tennessee. St. Peter's, a familiar face once again. Tennessee favored by 22.5 points. I'm not going to lie. I hate to do it, but I love Cinderella stories. I love underdog stories, but I don't lay 20-point spreads. I don't do that. If I had, you know, some units on the side, some house money, as I like to say, I probably would throw it on that Tennessee 22.5 because that game will probably be over very, very early. You got any games you're excited to watch tonight? Anything you're looking out for?
I'm going to just tune in. I'm not excited or anything like that. Duke plays tomorrow. That's when my excitement will kind of kick in for the tournament. I lost money today. I'm not excited about anything else. But I do think I'll keep an eye on the parlay you have with Kentucky and Gonzaga, because that does seem like some free money. So I might have to tap in.
Let's go. That's the pod pick. Shout out. Oh, you know what? Shout out to Grambling State getting into the tournament. I don't think they're going to make it very far, but they did win in overtime in the playing game. I had some coin on them. So shout out to HBCU Grambling State out of Louisiana, if I'm not mistaken. We're going to keep it on in basketball. We're going to take it a little bit more higher level, upper echelon, as they say, to the pros. We in the NBA with it. We got a playoff tracker that we're looking. I'm looking at standings. I mean, Boston's clinched the division. The only team that's clinched the division so far. Milwaukee 6-4 in their last 10. Cleveland 4-6 in their last 10. I'm talking about the top three in the Eastern Conference. That last loss was to the Heat. He had no Bam, right? If I'm not mistaken.
No Bam, baby.
No Bam, no problemo. Doesn't matter. No problem. Matter.
Scary doesn't. Terry, man.
That's why you brought. That's why you guys brought him in. That's why you guys brought him in.
Yep. He's coming into his own. My bad.
No, you're good. On the West Coast, we got OKC still in first place. 7-3 in their last 10. They got half a game on the defending champion, Denver. Wow. Denver Nuggets, who are 8-2 in the last 10. And the Timberwolves, 5-5 in the last 10. They've lost their last game. They look good one night. They look horrible the next night. They look good in the first quarter one game, and then that same game towards the end, they don't look good. Can Minnesota, June, survive with their kind of fourth quarter woes towards the end of the stretch, this playoff run?
I mean, I think they'll definitely survive. They're a good enough team to be able to overcome some of their deficiencies, but – and they're also really good at home. They haven't even lost 10 games at home. However, man, when we talk about experience in the playoffs, that's ultimately what it comes down to. And when we look at the top of the West, we got the Timberwolves and the Thunder, who stick out the most. Thunder have experience or lack of experience and also rebounding issues. The Timberwolves sometimes look like a whole different team than, you know, we've seen throughout the season. That being said, I do think they'll be able to maintain a top three seed for the playoffs. However, don't be surprised if you see the Clippers kind of knock them off their spot there.
The other team I want to look out for in the Western Conference, New Orleans Pelicans, man. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've won three straight at this point. They are number 5 in the Western Conference, about 6 games behind OKC in first place. How dangerous is this New Orleans team, June?
I mean, they're very dangerous. Zion Williamson looks like he's back to, you know, his old physique, right? In shape like he was maybe in his rookie year, college days. And so when he's healthy, we've seen throughout his career, that team is totally different. They're able to win tough games. Now, how serious are they? How scary are they? I think that's a different question. I don't know that they're a Western Conference finals bound team. However, I do think that they can lock up, you know, a top six position and then give a first round matchup some really good competition. But we got an injury update for tomorrow's game. New Orleans plays Miami. That's going to be in Miami. This is obviously the game that was circled on the calendar the night of the altercation when Jimmy Butler and Najee Marshall, might be butchering his name, but when they got into their scuffle, Thomas Bryant and Jose Alvarado, everybody's going to be there, man. But Tyler Hero, Kevin Love, Duncan Robinson ruled out. So, you know, we've been dealing with the Tyler thing, foot. Kevin Love, we've been dealing with his heel. And so, you know, we got to face that. But Bam Adebayo listed as questionable. I think that's going to be the biggest key here because, you know, we found a way last night with Bam Adebayo hurt and Terry Rozier taking over in the fourth quarter. But this game is going to have playoff-like intensity. It's going to be very physical. It's two teams who, at this point of their seasons and what's going on, they don't like each other, right? So it's just one of those games. At home, Miami, you got to come through. You got to come through. And thankfully, it's not going to have playoff implications as far as win-loss record against. However, it will have playoff implications as far as the Miami Heat trying to get in that top six, top five seed. So, yeah, to finish that off, I do think that the Pelicans are a dangerous team. However, grand scheme of things, yeah.
Not serious.
Dangerous. I wouldn't go so far to say unserious, but I don't know that they're ready for that. I don't
know. They got to prove themselves. We haven't seen them prove themselves in the bright lights of May and June. But the West is deep, man. And just to kind of put it into perspective how deep the West is, Luka Doncic, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry, arguably four of the most influential players that we've seen in our lifetime, are all scheduled, if the playoffs started right now, to be in the play-in round. All four of those players would be in the play-in. How crazy is that to think about, June, that these monumental, you know, first ballot Hall of Famers are in the play-in if the playoffs were to start today? And it looks like the trends look, it looks like they will more than likely be in the play-in, even with Dallas being 6-4 in their last 10 and winning their last two straight.
Sorry, I didn't get the question.
No, it's how crazy is it to think about how deep the West is with those four players possibly being in the play.
A lot of teams in the West with 40 wins. Like, we got eight teams right now, 40 wins. None of those teams have 30 losses. It's pretty fucking crazy. And then right under that, you got the Lakers and the Warriors with 37 and 36. So to compare, I mean, the East isn't as bad as it's been, you know, historically. It's a little deeper in these past few years. You got five teams there with 40 wins. But eight teams with 40 wins and guys like you said, I mean, you didn't even mention – guys like Shai Gilgeous. You didn't mention a guy like Kawhi Leonard. You didn't mention a guy like Nikola Jokic, right? I mean, the West is stacked. That's the facts. And so whoever has to play each other in these playoffs for the Western Conference, as we listen to the police in the background there, that's New York City for you. It's going to be a tough first-round matchup all the way around. And I don't see it any other way. I really don't. I mean, I'm looking at the top 10 teams in the West, and they all look like if you were to match them up against each other, it could be a competitive series. I would say maybe the Nuggets, giving everybody else the hardest time, but I could still see the Pelicans. I could still see the Kings. I could still see the Suns and the Mavericks making it a good series versus the Nuggets. So I'm just interested to see these playoffs, man. They're going to start within a month here, not even less than a month, probably, you know, just under a month. Playoffs begin, okay, April 20th. Playoffs begin April 20th. Play-in begins April 16th. So I'm excited, man. We got a lot of good basketball ahead of us. You know, I want to know, like, I'm curious to know, are the Sixers going to hold a playoff spot and then maybe have Embiid come back and join them for that first round and try to knock off a top seed. I'm also curious to know, once the Suns hopefully make the playoffs, because right now they're in the play-in, are they going to have their, you know, big three healthy throughout the playoffs? Like, a lot of questions here, man. LeBron James, is LeBron James going to miss the playoffs this year? Right? So I'm just excited. And then the most exciting thing will be when Boston goes down, right? I mean, they're at, what, 55 wins or so, you know, atop the NBA, 11 games ahead of the Bucks for first, and they are 7 games, you know, over the Western Conference best team, Thunder, for best record in the league with a 7-9-7 win percentage, all for that to be, you know, blown away by some lower seeded team who might come from the Southeast region of the country. But
neither here nor there, right? We were just talking about the Pelicans. They are live right now in Orlando, Florida. About 3 minutes left in the first quarter. They're up 23-12. Other live game that's going on right now are the Sacramento Kings visiting Washington. The Warriors are 4-28 at home this season. That is disgusting, but they are up on the Sacramento Kings 27-19 in the first quarter. Patience, patience. Still got a lot of basketball to play. The Suns this evening are hosting the Atlanta Hawks and are 9.5-point favorites at home against the Hawks. That's a lot of numbers to cover. It's a big spread to cover against the Hawks, if you ask me. And we were just talking about the defending champion Denver Nuggets. They are hosting the New York Knickerbockers tonight at Ball Arena in Denver, Colorado. Denver is an 8.5-point favorite.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie, the Knicks ain't losing Denver all season, man. 8.5 is a lot. I would probably play with that spread if I was on FanDuel or something. Let's because I wouldn't go so far to say money line Knicks. This is a different game. They're not healthy still. They're, you know, but Jalen Brunson's averaging 40 points a game in his last 3 or 4 games here, and it seems that there's no answer for him. It seems that the Knicks are just figuring it out, finding a way to click. They're playing harder than the teams they're playing right now, and beating Denver is not a surprise. They've done it multiple times this year. So they might have played them once or twice, but they're unbeaten. They're undefeated against Denver this season. And so they know what they're at, you know, what's up at stake. The Cavs just lost last night to the Heat. They want to try to, you know, inch toward that number 3 seed. It's right there for them, but they got to take care of business. With that being said, I got Denver money line, but I do think the Knicks can cover what was it?
Eight and a half. Yeah, 8.5.
They can definitely turn it into a 4-point game, you know.
Yeah, this will be the second game of the season that they play the last game of the season. The Knicks did win the first matchup, as you alluded to, 122-84. That line was Denver minus 2.5. So now we're seeing Denver minus 8.5 at home. I would definitely take that plus 8.5 with the Knicks. But then I think about it, and you know, the Knicks might nick, and
this one is lined up for the Denver Nuggets to win for sure.
For sure. And Luka Doncic and company, Kyrie Irving, will host the Utah Jazz this evening in the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. Dallas is a 14.5-point favorite against the Jazz, who are 9-25 on the road. Let's see if Lauri Markkanen can pull off another, you know, double-double, or if Luka will just, you know, continue to Luka his way into maybe the top 6, you know. We'll see. Who knows? We'll see. I think they'll get it together. I think that they will get this together. Whew. I did want to talk about the Clippers because they're in fourth, but they're 5-5, 1 win. It looks like they're pretty stagnant at this point. They're going to enjoy, I think, being in that middle of the pack and take advantage of whatever matchup that they can get. A lot of people have them winning, going far. Can the Clippers make it to the Western Conference Final, June?
I still think they can. I mean, if you look at it, I'm always go back to this team being well coached. And I understand that this team has had this coach for some years now, and they haven't been able to get over that same hump that we're talking about with teams like Dallas, who really have their number. You know, the Clippers, James Harden has been a big acquisition, man, and he's shown it all season long. I'm not going to say they're going to go, but do I think they can? Absolutely. Especially, you know, with, like I said, just under a month left in the regular season, we still want to see how things shape up in the playoff picture to see who they're going to have to play. Because as it stands right now, they got the Pelicans. I like the Pelicans, I like the Clippers in a first round matchup against the Pelicans if all were to stand. And them sitting at, what are they, 43-25, you know, they are, I think they're a little too far out of third place, you know, and then the Pelicans being at 42-26, they're two games up on the sixth seed. So, like, that looks to be the 3-4 matchup right now. And things can change. But, yeah, if the Clippers, you know, go on to, let's say it ended right now, you know, they play 4-5, then they'd play, I think, 3-6, which would be Minnesota or Sacramento. I mean, it's up for grabs, man. It's totally up for grabs. But they do have the talent. They do have the coach. And it wouldn't shock me if the Clippers made it to the Western Conference Finals. It would shock me if they won the West, but not getting there.
Like I said, 5-5 in their last 10. I mean, since Westbrook went down, I think it's going to be a little tough for them personally. I think that Westbrook being out and, you know, taking command of that second team, that's what we saw was the catalyst for them, was when Westbrook was like, look, I will come off of the bench and I will lead the second team. And when that happened, everything just started clicking. Him being out and, you know, hands having surgery on his hand, hoping to be back by the playoffs. I'm always weary of people coming back off of injuries that happened just before the playoffs, by the playoffs. If you get injured in the beginning of the season, you say, I'll be here for the playoffs, and I bet, you know. But just before the playoffs and then to come back for it, especially with a hand, like as a basketball player, you're like a chef, you know what I mean? You're like a proverbial chef. You need your hands, you know. What are you going to do? Or maybe even a surgeon. I'll take it up a notch. You're a surgeon, bro. You need your hands. You can't work without your hands. I'm very weary. I do see the light at the end of the tunnel for them. I do think that they can make it to the Western Conference Final, but it is going to take a full team effort, including Russell Westbrook.
And Paul George has to step up. Like, I mean, he's played horrible in the last month. So I don't expect Paul George to just shit his way through the playoffs. He's contributed way too much to this team through the season. And I expect that, you know, like Halliburton, he's slumping right now and he's nothing to talk about, but I don't expect Tyrese Halliburton to continue shooting 1 of 8, 1 of 9, 1 of 10. It's okay for players to slump. I talked about this on social media personally the other day, where this world revolves around sports gambling and cyberbullying. And, you know, as kids that are in school get bullied, I feel like that was more of a thing when we were younger. And not to say kids don't get bullied nowadays, you know, obviously, but it's like, who can come up with the funniest joke or the most negative statement about a professional athlete to go viral and make millions of other people agree with it? That's kind of the thing, right? If somebody has a bad game, we're going to find a viral clip of their lookalike working at Popeyes. Now you're bullying the player and the employee from Popeyes. Like, negativity fuels the world, but that's not how I look at it. So I do expect Paul George to make a full comeback to a PG-13 return and help the Clippers try to get to that Western Conference Final.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I was out on the Clippers early on in the season when it wasn't working. And I'm not gonna hold you. I jumped right back on the bandwagon. I was holding on for a second on the back like I had a skateboard under my feet. And just kind of, you know, hanging out there. And I'm still right there. I'm still right there. I got some hope for them. How beautiful would it be for them to make a run in this season where they're going to be departing from the Crypto.com arena and, you know, starting their, own identity, I guess. They're not going to be Lil Bro no more, even though, you know, historically in the last couple of years, it's been a Clipper town, not a Laker town, even with LeBron's presence in there. June, you got anything else you want to go over before we get up out of here?
I just saw a stat. Colorado State has 11 first half points and 12 first half turnovers. Insane. They had 7 minutes to go in the first half and they only had 2 points. Hey, man. Unserious basketball.
Yeah, it looks like Texas is going to get my money back from the Nevada game. And like I said, Dillingham and company, as well as the Zags, will take care of business tonight. And, you know, we'll be in profit, in profit. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, as we crash. Wow. Cross the 50. I think I didn't have any, like, until the end of the episode. I'm getting better, but damn.
What do you mean by that, crash?
As we cross the 57, almost 58 minute mark, this has been your inaugural 2024 March Madness Thursday evening episode. If you tuned in on the live, Ray, Cardi, Kev popped in. My fault. You know, before I close this out, Kev was in the chat. Didn't even see him. My fault, Kev. What up? He says your James Harden contesting his own teammate shots is hilarious. Tyrese playing hurt so he can make the all NBA and get the max. The hamstring ain't been right for the boy, for the boy. Shout out to Kev. If you were in the chat with us, we appreciate you. If you tuned in live, if you're listening on all streaming platforms, tuned in on YouTube after the fact, thank you so much for taking time out of your beautiful day. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you were tapped in here with us, getting the real in sports. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy this first weekend of March Madness, and we will see you all on Monday.